Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, the irreverent music podcast about all that matters in music, culture, and music news. I am Dan from the internet.
I'm Sean from the triathlon.
Sean from the triathlon. You'll work on it. You should have really worked on it 68 episodes in right now.
I'm not too pretentious to say I'm from anywhere. I'm from planet Earth. Sean from Earth.
Sean from Flat Earth. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Sean from Flat Earth. I'm down.
This is like the closest to a normal audio face we've had in a while, which is funny because it's dropping on a Thursday. But
it's really fucking weird.
Like, I don't need to explain the wild week we've had because this is kind of the end of it. The next episode should be on Sunday, as usual. We'll be reviewing artists that I haven't really looked up yet because we still have another thing to do right now. But nevertheless, it's going to be a fun episode. We've got a little bit more music news for you. We've got Logic, Roosevelt, Dylan Francis, really fun albums coming out. If you want to listen to our Lil Wayne album review, previous episode for that, but let's just jump right into it. New singles. We haven't done this in a while, right? And this week's new single was a good one with Bad Bad Not Good and Little Dragon called Tried. Mm-hmm. Two really eclectic, interesting art outfits. And it was a really good song. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have the drum beat and everything, and I love Little Dragon, so I was down to listen to it.
Bad Bad Not Good can make a hell of a track, so I'd absolutely recommend listening to that. It was a very good song that came out last week.
Oh, also, I totally forgot to fucking put it down, but I'll just another random single that I just remembered. I think I talked about her before, The Japanese House. She released another single. She's not actually never released a full album yet, but she released Lilo five, 6 days ago. Her typical type of eclectic, atmospheric, experimental alternative rock, and good track. Listen to it if you like her music and stuff. I would love for her to release a goddamn full album. That would be awesome. But
Lilo by The Japanese House.
Yeah, she's super fucking hipster and has just released EPs since like 2015.
Coming in at a cool 4 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Loving it. Can you add that under the that?
Yeah.
All right. And going into news, by the way, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod and rate us on Apple Podcasts if you've been enjoying this. Look at all this bountiful content that we've been dropping here while Sean figures out Google Docs. It's not that hard, dude. Apple cancels Dr. Dre's TV show. So Apple's been doing original programming of in the vein of Netflix. Kind of in the vein of Netflix and Hulu kind of creating original programming. And so they gave it to they gave some money to Dr. Dre to do some original programming. Not surprising. Dr. Dre has made Apple a lot of money with his beats.
A lot of money is an understatement.
He's made several dollars with that. But they pulled the plug because Dr. Dre's Vital Signs, the series, apparently had Tim Cook made the call to cancel the show because it had characters doing lines of cocaine, an extended scene of an orgy in a mansion, and drawn guns.
That's just fun.
It's a
normal day.
Sounds like HBO to me.
Sounds like a normal neoliberal day out in the hills.
Oh. It's not TV.
Damn it, I was about to say that. sounds like a Joey Diaz Tuesday.
Right? So, lame. Too much sauce for Tim Cook. Oh, whatever.
Whatever. Never mind.
Tekashi 6ix9ine is receiving an MRI. He took an Instagram video, or someone took an Instagram video of him in the MRI machine. He was in the desert on an ATV and then did something stupid involving him falling off of said ATV and has more brain problems coming out of it than he had going into it, which I thought was impossible, quite frankly.
Scanning his brain, all I see is idiocy. Straight up.
Oh my god. That's pretty much it. Nothing more to say here. You know, we just love to shit on well-known sexual abuser Tekashi 6ix9ine, an all-around general dumbass.
Professional dumbass.
SoundCloud rap, nothing but the best. Anyways, let's talk about something that's not SoundCloud rap whatsoever.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about that.
It's very likely that you will be able to respond to the Hassan Piker episode next week, if not the week after that, but it'll be coming pretty soon. I think we should do it next week. We'll try to fit it next week, even if it makes the episode a little longer.
Bleep Hassan, doo-da. Anyways, talk about good music.
Young Romance by Roosevelt. This is...
second full album.
Yes, 12 songs, 50 minutes. We talked about Roosevelt. I mean, Roosevelt is really...
We've talked about him a bit, especially early on in our podcast.
We reviewed his first album, I'm pretty sure. No, we didn't.
It was 2016.
No, you're right.
But we talked about him. We did it for both of our recommendations one of the times, and then he released a single that we talked... A couple singles, we talked about one of them and a couple other things here or there about him because we really like him as an artist and love his work.
Yeah.
And so he released Young Romance, which he's been teasing a couple singles here or there and doing other stuff. And who the fuck is calling me? Wow.
Spam call. He was releasing singles and doing other stuff.
Yeah, doing so. And then he was out here in LA doing a music video. And I should have gone over and be like, so dude. Actually, he's from Northern Germany. So I would have said Moin Moin or something like that. That's the extent of my Northern German because I'm Southern fucking Northerners.
North all the way and, in England.
In England down. Fuck the South.
But
anyways, yeah.
If you're not used to Roosevelt, it's kind of like alternative is the broadest sense of what I could call it. And then from there, it's a little bit of like 80s funk disco. But
yeah, it's experimental electronic funk.
But not experimental in the sense of like, it's. Experimental is usually kind of reserved for something that you have to
like
kind
like Bjork or something.
Yeah, you have to kind of like jump and really understand. It's not music that's very immediately approachable. Whereas all of this, I would consider...
It's very approachable.
Yeah, approachable pop, not to undersell it, but just like, these are all like...
They're good tracks.
Easy tracks to get into. And yeah, we're just like belaboring the point, describing these specifications of the album. It's a great album.
Anyways, top to bottom, holy shit. It's really good. Literally top to bottom. I have no complaints of the album at all, somehow. I mean, I loved his self-titled album that came out 2 years ago. I remember him talking about Roosevelt a while ago, and then because of Elliot single that came out 2015?
I don't even know if it was that long, because I discovered Roosevelt within 9 months of understanding that he was going to come out. I believe I learned of him in April. Might have released music before that. But
he definitely did,
April.
Because, 2013 was Elliot. Because right. I remember hearing Elliot on NPR, or on MBE.
Right.
I didn't know that was Roosevelt. And so he talked about him in April, and I go, oh, that sounds like a cool guy. I listened to, and then I popped it up, and I go, that's where I've heard him from. I go, he was on MBE with Elliot. I go, that's dope. 2016 album, self-title comes out, fucking fantastic, top to bottom.
Yeah.
And now he... brings it up. He just, it's more of stuff that's similar to his self-titled album, but a bit more production into it, a bit more,
I'd say this
more
is
creativity
a good...
of this album in general. Because if my one complaint of his first album is that it was a bit too of the same in each song, I mean, it had a theme and it stuck to it. This one has a little bit more broad, it's a bit more to this album in general from top to bottom. It has themes going through it, from the start to the finish, and overall, fantastic. Lucia, the track number 7, I've literally been on repeat since the album came out for me. I love that track.
Lucia's very Lucia good. Shadows, I really enjoy. Too. I think, so, when you listen to the first song, Take Me Back, by the way, hell of an album opener. It's a really good way to win me over, at least. It's a lot of what you said where it's taking, or... an homage to the older Roosevelt album, mm-hmm. definitely. But this goes further, and Roosevelt tries new sounds. I picked up a lot more like acoustic guitar, a little bit more, not quite acoustic guitar, but like a lot more guitar.
Oh yeah, definitely.
In the front and the focus of a lot of the production of the track, of the tracks, or at least a third of the tracks. And there are some songs that felt like, oh yeah, this is like pure Roosevelt, and in a good way, this feels like it could have come off from like the last Roosevelt album. And then there were a lot of songs where, like, wow, this is Roosevelt going in a new direction. Not too crazy, but definitely, like, taking all the right boxes for what I want from something new. I think Your Love, like, Why Our Love, and Illusions, and Losing Touch, and Pangea, around that area of songs is where you start to see exactly what we mean by a little bit like before, but definitely broadening the scope of his production. And this
those
is
are my that's my favorite chunk of the album right there. By
yeah.
far. I love that sound. I'm quite happy because it's interesting when an artist comes out with something that is, you know, unique to him. To them or Zed, 2018. Unique to them and saying, okay, hey, what happens in a couple of years when they've got successful, they've gotten more shows, you know, a little more mainstream radio hits here or there, what they do with their sound. And we always say, try to change it up, do something different. And this is that happy sweet spot. They have their he has his distinctive sound. He stays true to that, but he improves upon it and does a little bit more in this album. It's like a fashion designer have their one trademark, you know, and using that, but not making their entire collection the color fucking purple.
Right. You know? Yes.
They put a little hint of neon green in there, some black.
Yeah.
Know, a little bit of things.
Like deviate there. A little bit from the mean. Like it's totally fantastic. Fine to build your bread and butter as like a sound with your mean, quote unquote, but deviating from it.
Also,
a
I forgot. He's from Köln. He's not northern. So I retract my statement. You're cool. Köln is a really fucking cool city. Cologne being Cologne to those people who aren't German.
Anyways, last episode we did a ranking scale based off of Amazon's raising the minimum wage, and so we did a minimum wage ranking scale. Mm. Now let's do a ranking scale based on which employee benefits that Amazon is taking away from their workers.
Yep.
So the more employee benefits taken away, the worse. How many added benefits does the Roosevelt album Young Romance take away from the humble Amazon employees?
They get full benefits, baby. This is a socialist dream. They get everything. They get paid sick leave. They get a couple months vacation paid. They get fucking Denmark system.
Young Romance is the Young Madrigan Corporation in Spain, where it's a worker-owned factory corporation. All the employees have stock.
No, it's cheese board.
No, we need to save for some other rankings that I have in mind.
Okay.
There's some other albums to review, but the Roosevelt might be the Madrigan Corporation of albums.
As I said, that works out.
Now time for a little bit of industry shit. SiriusXM, the satellite radio company that used to be Sirius and XM that then merged together, has now bought Pandora.
Interesting.
Pandora...
For $3.5 bills, by the way.
$1 billion. That's a pretty decent amount.
You know, that's how much Greece owes me.
So here is the pros of Pandora, where like for the music streaming game, as music was kind of getting out of the Napster,
I forgot about Napster.
Napster, LimeWire kind of world, where people were trying to find legal ways of streaming music, and Pandora was like the original Pandora, the one I grew up using and
the Pandora radio.
Fond of was, it's a radio. You don't choose your stations. You just choose things you like, and then using this like. Music identification genome that Pandora's like algorithm.
What songs you skipped? You put little like things on your songs, and they kind of tailor to that. That's actually how I discovered a lot of music, especially listening
music.
To because I have such an eclectic taste. Of like, I would put on B sides of Radiohead, and I go, I want to hear shit like this.
Yeah,
and that's where you just scope.
You pick in something you like, and then you the algorithm just kind of picks things for you. And it was like a little bit smarter than an algorithm because they actually picked, okay, what makes this song this song based on descriptions that like we used to describe albums, like what type of drums, what type of like similar rhythmic patterns or constructions the song has, and then compares that to other things to see what you'll like. Now, basically every streaming service now has this feature built in to their app. Like Spotify, for example, is just called Song Radio. You pick a song, you go to that song
and
radio.
It works pretty well, but Spotify's is they play too much of the same in their radio. So I know if I put it, Love It If We Made It Radio, which is the 1975 song, I know I'm going to get almost the same songs that I've heard before. The nice thing with Pandora's, it was rotating. You wouldn't hear the same song twice.
Yeah, I mean, you'd very rarely hear the
unless you just
choice.
Unless you're playing 6 hours of it, then you might hit it again. But it's not. That's a problem with Spotify radio. But that's something.
Yeah, but it's
different. That's something that we're just saying. We quite enjoyed Pandora, especially when Spotify wasn't up or other apps and stuff where it was just starting. Like iHeartRadio was just starting and stuff.
Yeah.
This is the late 2000s, early 2010s of music.
And then after that point, Pandora just kind of lost its stride because...
Well, especially that's when streaming took over.
Yeah,
that's
and then really all the other apps just did the Silicon Valley thing and just like add the other, your competitor's features into your app.
Yep. So this will be interesting to see if they do anything with it, maybe make it more of a Spotify type program, maybe try to make it more user friendly with their playlists, because that's something that they have a one up on Spotify by far that they can use to exploit and try to get more people to their program. And I'd love to see that because I love playlists. I love hearing different things. That's one problem I have with Spotify is their playlist. I don't really like or enjoy too much because they're a bit too bland to me. But
I can see Pandora becoming part of SiriusXM's like technology that's underlying because usually that's what happens with these kind of mergers where you put the technology of the company you bought into your existing product. And so maybe we'll see something interesting with that, but like an app-based thing that's like music recommendation feature that's hopefully commercial-free coming soon. But next, we need to talk a little bit about posthumous death releases. This has happened a lot, especially with, let's get creative, XXXTentacion, or XXXTentacion, whatever you want to call it.
X cubed.
Not smart enough. We want to know what was cubed, though, when he got shot. There are three guys. Anyways, besides...
for you audio listeners, my blink depth stare...
There's one of those, I can't believe you said that. Like, just like, I'm not here. This is going to be found one day, and he's going to like... You're going to look at that, like, staring at the camera as if it's like a hostage who's trying to blink twice to show
that's the episode of The Office when it pans to Jim, like, really? That's literally the face I made.
Two posthumous albums from Tupac Shakur are expected to be released.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I mean,
we've had this conversation a couple of times before because the hologram thing is in, and I did it. I even did it to classical music because you have artists or you have composers and stuff that died, and some of their contemporaries found their work and made it. So you have different. Like Chopin, there's posthumous releases of some of his works, and within there, some people are like, it's great to hear it. I mean, they're wonderful pieces, but they have their reasons why they didn't come out. Certain things, sometimes it's just because their life got cut short, or maybe because they didn't like it enough. And I mean, that's something that we talked about before. This is now just getting a little ridiculous.
This just feels like a blatant cash grab.
Exactly, and it's a little ridiculous because Tupac died in 90s. Yeah, 90s. I don't know the exact date. You had all this time to release. I don't think there's any legality battle.
There was a legality battle.
There was.
This was between Death Row Records and Shakur's estate.
Oh, Death Row
and Records. She sued and eventually won some of the rights and then royalties totaling around $280 million. So there was that. There's also the fact that when we had this conversation beforehand, I'm not really disagreeing or moving away from the point we had in a previous episode of Audio Face when we talked about posthumous deaths, I think, around Prince. And the point we basically arrived at was that it depends a lot on the intentions of the artist and how they wanted themselves to be portrayed after death. Now, when you have an abrupt death, Tupac Shakur's like murder, usually you don't plan for those kinds of things. And so with some artists, you have it very well documented. I'd love to be a hologram. I don't want to be a hologram. I do want these things to happen.
Exactly.
Without that or kind of without that knowledge, even though it is the family and so this is kind of like the best people to be the arbiters of this choice, it still feels exploitative in a way because the original person who created that art is not benefiting from it. It's kind of just someone else taking it over.
Yeah, to me, it's one thing if they had it planned to release. Saying, okay, you have an album coming out in a year, it's already finished, they're just kind of putting the finishing touches and they're going to release their singles and shit. What if then they suddenly tragically pass away between that point? You can still release it. Like, okay, that's fine. They already had this planned out. That's happened plenty of times. Like, okay, it's already planned out. We'll release it anyways. And you could just go listen to their music. But when it's been something that was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, come on.
Yeah.
You gotta chill. Like, Michael Jackson, too, was a bit... But that's because his estate's fucking crazy, but...
Yeah, I mean,
every
single one of these celebrities, they have, like, a bit of a different situation going on. And so it's a case-by-case basis. You really have to see what was the artist's intentions and what they wanted, and what it's just about respecting their wishes and respecting the art that they like worked so hard on. Yeah. Speaking of the artworks that they worked so hard on, we're gonna talk about Logic in a little bit, but I want to make sure we have enough time logistically wise. So we're gonna take a quick break, and after this break, we will talk about Young Sinatra 4, and then we'll get to Dylan Francis a little bit later too. So we'll be right back. And we're back, just like that, with Get Up.
Welcome to the world,
Plastic Beach. Yizv. This is
Young Logic's Sinatra 4.
Young Sinatra 4.
Or Yizviv.
Young Sinatra series. This is Logic's latest album. It's his second release this year, correct? Bobby Tarantino was there this year, right? I'm not crazy.
That was last year.
It might have been last year.
Oh, no, it was. Bobby Tarantino 2 was this year. Yeah. Bobby Tarantino 1 was 2016.
Yeah. He releases a good, like, 1-2 albums every year, yeah. So this is right. And he has a bunch of different projects, and he can do this, which we'll get into.
14 songs long, hour 16 minutes, before we forget.
Yeah, tiny bit on the long side, but
it's because
there's some songs that clock in a long amount of time, and we'll kind of go into each one of those because there's a purpose behind them, but 14 songs is a perfectly admissible amount.
Yeah, except the fucking first track was.
Let's explain the first track, I guess.
I'm sorry.
Raz interrupted you. I thought I wanted to pause, and then I said, "Let's just continue."
Okay.
I love the sound of my own voice. It's great.
I hate the sound of my own voice, which is ironic.
No, I mean, what's worse is the sound of your own voice is when you like listen to the podcast itself.
Yes, because then I can actually hear my voice, and it's awful. And I go, "Oh my god, no wonder why people hate me." Anyways, this is dark. Actually, people, they don't hate me anymore.
Talk about Thank You.
So there's a track called Thank You, which is fucking 7 minutes, 10 seconds long as the opening goddamn track on his album. Just a bunch of people calling in and writing shit to Logic, thanking him about his music. And is the best jack-off session in the fucking world. We talked about it yesterday for that Carter 5. About his mom's calling, like leaving like a 2-minute voicemail and stuff. That was kind of cute. This was, I'm like, oh my god, okay, if it was like 2 minutes long, sure. This is 7 minutes, just let it stop.
I mean, I had different feelings about this, like.
Stroke your ego a little bit. I like Logic a lot, but.
Okay, well, I read it a totally different way. I read it as Logic and his fans, the Rat Pack. Logic is one of those rare rap artists that has a fan base that's similar to a lot of electronic music artists.
Well, is that or like you have your own identity? Like Jim Rome has the clones,
right?
He has his own thing. Yeah, I get that.
When like Jim Rome has callers who call in, like that one guy from Texas who cried and said that like Jim Rome's show was really pivotal around the time he started like getting married to his wife and shit. And so we're talking about a sports show at this point, but. For some people, music has that role in their lives. Oh, yeah. And
that's that in our lives.
Logic is, of course, that's why we're doing this podcast. Logic has had built a niche off of doing a certain kind of music that is rap, but different styles of rap at different times, usually with a relatively more positive message than you see. Other rap music, a lot of kind of rags to riches kind of things about self-motivations and moving up. Specifically not rags to bitches, though, because Logic's style of rap is slightly different. And because of that, he's built this cult following of people who really feel like they're more than his fans.
Being heard by him. Yeah, I get that. But again, just too long. Literally, if you made it 2 minutes, 3 minutes, cool. Scott, seven goddamn minutes of it.
Sure. Okay, I will.
That's why I'm like, because I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then just kept going on. I go, how long is this? Holy shit.
Before I forget, on the last song on this album, spoiler alert, he mentions that this is the last like Young Sinatra 4 he's probably going to be doing. And I think because of that, it gives him reason to make the track long. Like, and then it started, if you go through it, it's just like people and then it's more around the world and then they shorten it up more. And so
it's
whatever.
Anyways.
First songs for albums are either going to be really amazing or like this, they're just kind of like intro throwaways. You kind of don't even deal with it. But beyond that, second song totally is fine. Second song makes up for it.
Yeah, overall, album was pretty good. There's some stuff I didn't like. The song with Hailee Steinfeld, Ordinary, I didn't like. Ordinary Day, I didn't like. The one that went hard as fuck and I liked a lot was Wu-Tang Forever.
Okay, so...
Featuring all of the goddamn surviving members of Wu-Tang. I'm just listening to it and just chilling. And then out of nowhere, I hear it and I'm like, this sounds like a Wu-Tang song. Look at my phone, Wu-Tang Forever, cool. Look at the track listing. He texts me, he goes, he just played a song with all the surviving Wu-Tang members. I go, this is amazing. 8 minutes of just unrelented, unadulterated...
90s.
Fucking just full-gas 90s hip-hop. And I'm just literally sat down. I go, oh my God, this is throwing me back.
Old heads crying.
I love that. Holy shit, that made this album good for me. This album altogether, for me at least, was hit and miss on certain things. I like certain tracks. Other tracks sounded really long. The one that Hailee Steinfeld didn't like much, but that's because it was more poppy, and I genuinely don't like that. Depending on who you are, like, I like Troye Sivan doing his album. But in total, I liked it. Wu-Tang Forever, though, really made it like, holy shit, this is cool. I like it. So overall, yeah. To me, the album in general was good. Felt long, especially towards the end. The last couple of songs kind of dragged on for me. So not my favorite Logic album by far, but it's still a good work. Had a lot of good moments throughout the album.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I quite enjoy it. I'm definitely going to listen to a couple of the tracks throughout, which means it's not a miss. It's just, to me, there's a lot of ideas in this album, a lot of craziness, which, I mean, Logic does. But I liked Bobby Tarantino 1 and 2 so much more than this.
That's funny, because those are trap.
But those are trappy trap ones. But it's because of, I like, at that time, trap was more new for me, and it wasn't as overplayed.
Right.
And I can still listen to, it's like Emperor Nehru's New Groove. Well, I can still listen to that. I can still listen to Bobby Tarantino 1 and 2 and not be overwhelmed by the amount of trap in it, because it's not super trappy, unlike Migos, where it's fucking 3 hours.
Because rather than trap, it's like an artist's take on trap.
Yeah, exactly, because Super Mario World.
Yeah, the Logic song from Bobby Tarantino 1.
Was 1, yeah.
Yes.
Super good song. I love that shit. This is more, there's fuck all trap really in this album that I can remember.
Barely any.
Like, I think there's just like traps there, like Lil Wayne's album, where there's a couple songs of like you can hear like little hints and a couple of scenes, but it wasn't really much, which again, thank you. And that's why it didn't. Yeah, exactly. But it still was a bit all over the place for me, and not my favorite Logic work, but still had some good tracks. Wu-Tang Forever, though, fucking good track.
I have like, in a lot of ways, a similar takeaway, in a lot of ways, very different takeaway from how you saw this album. I thought there are definitely way more songs I liked on it than not. I'd say around Adventure, I didn't like Street Dreams 2 so much, because it's like a story song, and it's just like, whatever, it's Logic. It's artistic, I respect it, but it's not my favorite. And then some of the songs in the latter part of the album, I'd say 10 to 14, aren't even all that great. Didn't really didn't need the 14th Jaden Smith feature I've heard this year. His Last Call song, his like version of Last Call, is very good. He mentions how Mac Miller was the inspiration for the first Young Sinatra.
Yeah.
I thought that was very touching.
To me, if you cut basically 10 through 13, you stopped at Young Sinatra 4 and Last Call, this album would have been 10 times better.
Yeah, Stony Bob is okay, but yeah, I'd be.
You could have cut that out, exactly, because the rest of the tracks are pretty good.
But it has to be said that the first, like, even including excluding Thank You, sure, but the first six to seven songs are all solid, and that's a very, very good feat. I mean, Logic is so. What makes Logic so like prolific, in my opinion, is that he is able to release albums under different types of projects with different sounds, all with a unifying thing simultaneously.
Yeah.
And so he's constantly working on different sounds, but he'll stop and go to another thing, almost as if he's like an artist going to another band or another project to try something out differently. But he's just doing this under the same persona. And this isn't like a new thing. Rappers and musicians have done versions of like this before, but not mainstream, not very often.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a feat when someone does all of this all together. And so this was why I wanted to say hold, because once I created the arbitrary ranking scale for this, I would say this is my cheese board. Cheese board is great. It's it's a pizza shop in Berkeley that's run as a co-op. And so they keep all their benefits. They choose all their benefits. But because the reason they choose all their benefits, sometimes you don't like the choices they end up making. like randomly being closed for an hour and a half in the middle of the day, or being closed for like 3 days a week, or being closed for like 3 weeks at the beginning of every single year. You don't like the choices they make, but all in all, you take it for the whole product as it is, and it's very good. And they don't mistreat their workers.
This is, you get rid of dental insurance.
Got rid of dental.
You got rid of dental. So it's like twice a year you get fucked. Rest of the time you still get, you know, you still get your health care, you get private life insurance, 401k, except you got to short the stock market, people.
No, don't tell them that.
And then you get like house insurance, you get like flood insurance, you get fire insurance too. They hook
got
you
no
up.
Wind insurance.
And they got, I ain't got no wind insurance. Well, my FEMA check arrives. Still too soon, actually.
Hashtag FEMA. FEMA too fresh in people's...
always too fresh. Anyways, you just... It's like just dental. So it's a little annoying. But you got what you got to do because you got hooked up for the rest of it. So
yeah.
That's, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's still got the good stuff. Anyways.
We were talking a little bit... Yeah, more industry shit. We were talking a little bit before I went to break about...
What the fuck?
building Pandora and building playlists and really getting things for customized for people. Well, Spotify says, hold my beer, I like beer, and says, now we're going to generate playlists based on users' DNA as part of a partnership with Ancestry.com.
Nope, pump the brakes. Nope. Literally, I don't even want to talk about this. That makes me incredibly uncomfortable, and literally, don't ever do that.
This is why I refuse to do one of those Ancestry.com tests. I'm like, oh, so you want me to give a company my data and it's my genetic data. Oh, right. So like the one little bit of information tech companies don't have about me, you want me to fork that away so I can, do the Henry Louis Gates thing all over again? No, thanks. But yeah, it's going to be working with Ancestry.com, basically making music to go along with your genealogy, I guess, which is just like a novel, cool thing. Is anyone going to actually use this to broaden their musical breadth and depth? Maybe a couple people, and maybe it might stick on because Ancestry.com is stuck on, but I think I am a part of a group of people that is partially generational, but partially just up to date with these things, that are sick of how much information tech companies are having of me. And even though you can make the argument of you voluntarily give that to people, you're upset with the way these tech companies are handling that information and like treating your information and treating you as a product, less of like the consumer. And so whenever I see something like this, no matter how cool it is on the surface, I don't care. I don't want it. I'd rather just learn music the old-fashioned way by no one in the music industry knowing anything about my genetic background.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know. Spotify might be one day owned by Halliburton, and you can't have that.
Just please no. Yeah. No DNA. I'd rather not have that happen. Anyways.
Next up, sexual assault.
Legend sexual assault.
So Sigur Rós, the drummer, Ori, has resigned from the band due to allegations of rape. What was the... quote.
I mean, I could talk about
it,
honestly.
Yes. Cigarettes is your wheelhouse.
My second favorite band of all time, possibly. Third favorite band of all time.
Why don't you believe women, Sean?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, please continue reading the...
Anyways, so he resigned for the band. This is what Yonzi and Georg posted to other members of Sigur Rós. They said, in the wake of a extremely serious and personal allegation made against him in recent days, we have today accepted the resignation of our bandmate, Ori Palladidason, to allow him to deal with this privately. Apparently, Ori was involved with a dancer, I believe. Yeah.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah, and Boyd, when they were recording Kivkor in 2013. And she allegedly posted on Instagram saying that he assaulted her apparently at night when they were both drunk. She like passed out or something, and she felt penetrated.
Yeah.
So as Boyd recounted, I woke up the feeling of being penetrated.
I mean, I don't want to go through it's just me going through the Kavanaugh hearings, but I don't want to go through the really graphic details unnecessarily.
But and then he said Ori said that that's not what he recounts of the night at all, saying that, no, it was, we both had something to drink, but it was consensual, but he didn't remember. He doesn't remember the night much because they probably were just that drunk to where they both really don't know what happened. So this is that gray area of what the fuck happened. And I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to defend either. It's hard for me as a big fan of Sigur Rós to have to hear this, but again, it's God damn it, there's a quote that he said.
The Facebook one?
He sent to her. He's saying, why would you make these allegations against me? That's something that's not true. Like, we had a great night together. I really respect you. This is like a private email conversation between the two. I had a great night with you. I really respect you as an artist, this and that. So it's not something where, with a lot of allegations against people, you usually hear the guy coming out and yelling at them, saying you're a whore, this, you know, really terrible sayings about them. But Ori really respected her and saying, like, what the hell happened? Like, that's not something that's not what I recall of the night.
Right.
So this is, to me, it's like, okay, something's a little fishy here to that, because of all the things that we've heard the past 4 or 5 years of a bunch of sexual abuse coming out, 95% of the time, the male goes mental on it. Usually he goes, starts accusing her of this.
Rapid, like, denial. Really denied, all big these time, things, yeah.
Ori was incredibly respectful of her and saying, hey, like, I really respect your art. We had a great time. That's not what I recall of the night. Like, not, like, really yelling at her or anything, but he said, now he said, he asked the band's fans to abstain from dragging his family, especially his wife, into the matter, and to stay calm and not be divided into two battling armies. These are not court proceedings, just Megan's words against mine on the internet. And then he said, it's a difficult decision for me, but I cannot have these serious allegations influence the band and the important and beautiful work that has been done there for the last years. A job that is so dear to me, I would do anything in my power to get myself out of this nightmare, but out of respect to those actually suffering from sexual violence, I will not take that fight public. So again, very respectful to victims of sexual abuse and everything. I think, I don't know if when you get drunk and you get blackout drunk, you literally don't know anything that happened. Like,
right.
if it's a day that's gone, you don't know. So to her, it may have happened to where she got blacked out drunk and maybe thought she got raped, vice versa. You, like, when you're that drunk, you don't know what happens.
Right.
And that's a really, really gray area,
yeah,
within,
I think,
that. And to me, that's something, personally, why I almost never drink to the point of that. I mean, A, I rarely drink as a pro athlete. I can't really. But if I do go out and drinking, it's nothing like that. And it's something to me where I was raised by my mom, who's best human on earth, one of the best humans on earth. So where he raised me, hey, if you're going to have some fun with some woman, you know, or male, 2018, you can do what you want. Whoa.
Or
if you're both drunk, probably the best idea not to do it, especially if you're really, really fucked up. Probably the best idea not to do anything for shit like this, because when you're drunk and you're losing your stuff, you're not on edge, you're not on guard, you lose your guard, and maybe when you're drunk you want to do it, but then when you're sober up you don't want to do it. It's that really shitty area of when you're fucked up you do bad things most of the time. So that's something to where should have respected her a bit and say, hey, you know what, like, back yourself off. I know you're both drinking, but it's something to where, hey.
Yeah.
That's something to me that needs to be addressed in a bunch of culture as well, to where if you're both fucked up, to me, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
If I'm in a relationship with them, there's ground rules and stuff. That's different. But if it's just like a one night scene or something with somebody you respect, then that's totally different.
Right. You said a lot of what I think illustrates the nuance of these conversations. And you have to look into the context of how they handle it, the kind of person they are. Before you can kind of make a definitive, he said, she, like,
yeah,
who
yeah.
is, like, really doing it, because there's no real, like, there's no third witness in this case. All these cases are a little bit different, and there's a, I think, a correct tendency to put weight into the accuser's statements, because it's the likelihood of it being a false accusation, and false accusations in general, is statistically, like, very low,
nuanced.
To impossible.
It's usually pretty nuanced.
No, like, I'm talking about just numbers. There's no nuance to numbers. The number of false accusations is anywhere between 2 to 9%.
Yeah.
9% being the most, like, judicious estimate. 2% when you factor in that when allegations of sexual assault are made, but there's no court trial after that, and we can go through the number of reasons why people don't want court trials.
Yeah.
I really don't want to, because this is a horrible topic, and I've dealt with it a lot, and it's been emotionally hard, honestly, in my news life. So I've gone through this ad nauseum. But even with all that, all the nuances you described, people who are making accusations are likely not to be lying or doing it for insidious purposes. And you have to kind of look at that within the context of the other person who, and at least in this case, of the people who have been accused, seems the most, hey, I'm not trying to attack this other person. This is a misunderstanding or some flaw with psychology, potentially, where we don't remember this way. Or it could be where what he didn't see as abusive or going too far or didn't read in that moment because they were drunk as fuck. And not because of like, this is like the way it actually works on your inhibitions. Then maybe he misread something and his memory is totally different, but the act of sexual abuse did happen. So there's, each of these are scenarios in which you're not blaming the accuser or giving too much weight to either person's side. You're just saying these are all options because these are all complicated. But like, I really hate talking about this. Let's move on.
That's why I'll take the lead on this. So
yeah.
I'm glad he resigned, though, to really respect the band and making sure that they don't suffer any sin through his personal stuff.
Yeah.
Really happy you did that. So the Cigarettes make some of the most amazingly beautiful music, seen them live, and I hope that doesn't detract from the band.
Yeah, and it seems like he's separating himself from it, so it's just always...
I'm very happy that happened.
Yeah.
Janelle Monáe joined a Harriet Tubman movie.
Yeah, she's starring in the film Harriet, which she's done a lot of films, I found, actually. She did the film with the first black astronaut that came out a while ago.
Yeah.
She starred in that. So she's has her, like, internet career, and then her music career, and then her film career. It's not bad.
Her music's fucking fantastic.
Wonderful music. It's like a female Gambino, honestly.
That's good. That's a pretty good comparison, actually.
At this right now. So, like, not musically, but being the almost triple threat.
She needs to get comedy now, and then she's a triple threat. Anyways, speaking of comedy.
Well, let's try. Dylan Francis released, the electronic music artist, released an album called What. It is 11 songs long, 33 minutes long, and the thing that's very different about this, usually Dylan Francis is the kind of, it's the line for Sean, between like hypey, typey, EDM, that's just like festival music, very predictable song.
Bland, super high pitch, put a screwdriver in your head and some ecstasy and you'll like it.
Fun weekend. So that's usually what Dylan Francis is known for. But this album is a little more Latin. This album is almost entirely Spanish language with some, thankfully not a lot, of the Spanish coming from Dylan Francis. He kind of takes more of a production role. But this, besides being kind of a cynical entry into the Latin American music world for Dylan Francis, and the first song being called White Boys is always going to be funny for me.
That sounds terrible. Holy shit.
Sounds terrible? Go for it.
The White Boy, the first song, is fucking god-awful.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Because they do the exact high-pitched thing.
They do the immediately, I'm listening to them like this hypey-typey, and literally the high-pitched thing that's been going on for the past 6 years is there. There's a couple decent songs in it, but overall, it is just, it's a Dylan Francis album that happens to have Spanish in it.
Yeah.
That's literally it. I was excited because he's going to try something else. I saw the album cover, I go, motherfucker, he's going to make some bullshit. And that's what it was.
He stays very true to, and I think even look at That Butt, sounds very close to the Dylan Francis song that he made already, that is like, oh my God, Becky, look at your butt, with that same remix. I think it's just a Spanish version of it, honestly. But
it literally is.
Yeah, I'd say it's a little bit held back from.
It's not as bad. It's not as bad as other Dylan Francis stuff, where it's like,
yeah,
because of it being have a little Latin flair. Basically, you put Tabasco sauce on a frat asshole's EDM playlist. That's what you did. You didn't even like. That's not even spicy. It's no bullshit. It's not even green.
It's like, you go to a frat house, you see which bro has the aux cord, and then you just put a Tapatio bottle over it. Yep. That's this album.
Literally, that's this album. You're not going hard on the paint. You're not going to, you're going to Supermix. That's what you're doing.
This isn't Super Max. This is Del Taco.
This is Del Taco. Actually, this is hell Del Taco.
No, this
you're driving in your 4x4 Toyota truck.
This is the Taco Bell Cantina.
Taco Bell Cantina.
Of albums. God, this is the Taco Bell that serves alcohol.
Yeah.
And is open late at night. So it's near college towns.
Yep. This isn't the Mexican restaurants where you go to where nobody speaks. The entire menu is in Spanish.
That's the good shit.
And you can get the orange soft serve drink that's like half ice cream, half orange thing. That is the most delicious thing on planet Earth. It's so good. Or you go to San Diego and you get a fucking veggie burrito in 2 minutes and some orange soda.
That's good deals. But
good deals. This is not that. This is a fucking fake meat crusty pie thing that serves at Taco Bell with the little chihuahua that was featured in like 2005.
No quiero Taco Bell.
Exactly.
No quiero Dylan Francis.
Literally stupid. Okay, side note, I really tried. I'm most, not to toot my own
horn.
I'm most open man in mind in America. With like SoundCloud stuff, I will listen to anything. You give me a recommendation, I'll listen to it. Because
see if that happens.
Seriously, I will. Because look how much SoundCloud rap I've listened to on this podcast. How much bad shit music I've listened to. Because, again, as I always say, in order to hate something, you have to know it. You can't go in ignorance. You can't be ignorant into something that you dislike. I know. Because you don't understand it. Then you're just being a fucking idiot. If you really know something and you hate it, boom, there you go. So I listened to this album. I really tried. This is not my first take into Dylan Francis. I have seen him live with him. And, it's the same thing we heard 4 years ago.
I'm more likely to enjoy Dylan Francis because this is like, I enjoy music festivals and EDM and that shit.
I enjoy music festivals.
I mostly have Sean's opinions on this. And so I usually try to give these albums more of the benefit of the doubt, but I kind of came away. This is forgettable.
It's pretty bad.
Okay. So quick recommendations. I think Taco Bell Cantina and the benefits ride for that. I think where I'm gonna stay as far as my analogy goes.
I'm gonna go. You get that 3 a.m. shit Taco Bell, when you wake
are
up
you
in the
about
middle
the
of
shits that you get. From
yes,
Taco Bell.
Yeah, literally the shits you get from Taco Bell. Where you wake up at 3 a.m. you go, oh no. And you run straight to the bathroom and you do not pass go, you don't collect $200. It's 5:30 in the morning and you're still like shitting. You're like, I'm gonna just open up the paper and look at the stock exchange because I'm gonna be here for another 2 hours.
War septic tank.
Literally septic tank.
And now, because we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note, life is beautiful. At the Odessa's closing concert. At Life is Beautiful.
I didn't see this.
A firework flew into the crowd.
Fuck.
So a firework show almost killed someone at the Life is Beautiful festival.
That's so great and so bad at the same time.
No one was injured. Someone had like light injuries and they were treated by medical teams there. By the way, medical teams at music festivals, they are the unsung heroes of society.
Seriously, like they're the OGs.
It's like shout out to them always.
Especially EDC and shit where you have hundreds of thousands of people that are all fucked up.
Real boys in blue. People
in blue.
Yep. You know the meme. But two festival goers suffered minor injuries. One person was hit in the stomach, the other was in the eye.
No eye injuries. Those are game over.
No. It's like minor injuries and they were okay.
So it's not like in the Ryder Cup, the golf tournament Europe versus America, where Brooks Koepka hit a drive and hit somebody in the eye and exploded their eyeball.
No.
Not kidding. Like they're gone. Game over for your right eyeball. You're not seeing that again.
Sean, we did it.
We didn't.
We made it through the weirdest 2 weeks in music in a while.
And we didn't want to mention the K word.
Yeah, Kanye is. Wait. I have it back. It's here.
I got ahead of myself.
Whatever. We made it through 2 very interesting music weeks. We're going to have more coming up this October. Let me go through that list again. The 1975.
No, they're in November.
Oh, it got moved to November now? Okay.
It's November 30th. Okay. Is their album. Unless Maddie's like, here you go, which could happen.
Well, I haven't I'll be real. I haven't updated my what's coming out soon That's list true. Because we've done like 3 or 4 or 5 episodes in the That's past true. 2 or 3 yeah. weeks. Not to mention all the Danfini and stuff you should check out. Not to mention Sean and all your stuff you can find on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez.
I should start posting piano videos, actually. No, fuck it.
We should talk about your social media strategy and what you should and shouldn't do later. But I am on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And the show is on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. We encourage you to follow us. We encourage you to rate us 5 stars. And we encourage you to tell us.
Or 1 star if you hate us.
Do not rate us 1 star.
I'm joking.
Do not listen to Sean. Like, anything Sean says about ratings is bad. And we will be back next week with an episode where we talk about music and culture and shit. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Cheers.